This is Ryan.
And Heather Johnson.
And you're listening to the Home Loans Made Easy podcast.
Home loans can be confusing. We're here to talk straight, cut through the clutter, and help you understand home loans, get the best rates, and win at the mortgage game.
Welcome to the Home Loans Made Easy podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into Home Loans Made Easy. My name is Ryan Johnson.
And this is Heather. How are all of you this week? It's good to have you back with us.
Today, we're going to be taking a look at a huge trend, something that we're seeing on a very consistent basis with the borrowers that we work with. Now, on any given day, we're working with anywhere from first-time home buyers to families that own six or seven properties. For one reason or another, we find ourselves working with C-level individuals. We've worked with tax accountants, marketing professors, CEOs, CFOs. But across the board, we are seeing enormous interest in vacation rental purchases.
Totally doesn't surprise me because we all love Airbnbs. And I think during COVID, they became more popular because people weren't staying as much in hotels. They were kind of going and traveling, but they wanted to still be more isolated. And so the number of Airbnbs have increased, the number of vacation rentals. And I personally think it's a fun thing to do. Like, I like staying in Airbnbs. And I think that owning them is a really good option, especially if you're not wanting to go with the long-term rental, you know, choice, and if you want somewhere that you can go and stay as well. So we're seeing that happen too.
Right, and they're great for like big family get-togethers, right? Grandma and grandpa want to get the kids and the grandkids together, and doing that in a hotel scenario just doesn't make any sense. So there are a lot of things that make vacation rental purchases as an investment vehicle very enticing and very interesting. Not to say that long-term investment properties are a bad scenario, but the trend is definitely moving towards vacation rental scenarios. Let's talk about just the standard cash flow opportunities with vacation rentals. But you can actually go onto Airbnb, VRBO, and they will give you a cost per night metric. There's also a great tool called AirDNA. It is subscription-based, but it will give you a complete analytics picture along with forecasts, past performance on every single unit that's on Airbnb and VRBO, et cetera. So definitely earmark that if you're interested in the vacation rental space. But when you're looking at a true vacation rental P&L scenario, your multiples are anywhere. I've seen anywhere from, you know, 0.5x of your yearly mortgage payment clear up to 5x of your mortgage payment. In other words,
so I'm just going to recap that so that we make sure we understand for those of us who aren't quite as up to speed on it. So when you're saying a 0.5x, you mean the amount that you would pay in your mortgage, you're going to earn that plus another 50%, right? So you're going to be able to pay back your mortgage, plus you're going to make some. And if it's 10x, you're making 10 times what you're paying in your mortgage. Is that what you're saying, or am I interpreting it wrong?
Yes, but I haven't seen any 10x scenarios. But I want that one.
Will you find that one for us?
I have seen 4x in 5x returns. So we won't get into the total P&L, but just the idea is with the correct vacation rental scenario, you're going to be making significantly more monthly and yearly income than you can with long-term rentals. The other significant advantage comes from a financing perspective. When a family is purchasing a long-term investment property, most times they have to bring at least 25% down to make that purchase. When you purchase a vacation rental, most families are doing it under the second home category of financing.
Oh, so that's going to be advantageous. You don't have to put as much down. Rates are going to be a lot better. Do you have to live in it for a certain amount of time, though, to make that work?
Yes. In order to qualify for a second home, you have to intend to live on the property for between 2 weeks and 6 months. And if you can make that commitment or that intention, then you only have to put 10% down to get a second home loan. Your interest rate on a second home is going to be, typically speaking, about 0.5% lower than what you'll get for a traditional investment property.
This is why they're so popular right now then, because you can get into these homes for a lot less, and because equity's gone up, homes are a little more expensive. So if you can get into it for a lower down payment, I think that sounds like a really good idea, especially if you're being able to make more back than you would with an investment property, like
your,
a traditional.
Your return on investment with a 10% down compared to a 25% down goes through the roof, plus your income opportunities are more significant. And people love the opportunity to have a vacation home that they can use from 2 weeks to 6 months per year. So we spent a lot of our time working in the Salt Lake market, and we've seen multiple buyers buy a second home in the St. George area. And, you know, they plan their Thanksgivings, their spring breaks around being able to spend time in this vacation rental. And when they're not using it, they're able to rent it out. So it turns out to be a very elegant investment property opportunity compared to like a traditional duplex, multi-unit, or even a single family rental that you have a long-term contract on.
So with the market the way that it is right now, can someone do a cash out on their current property? Let's say you've lived in your house for a while, you have a lot of equity, and it's grown so much, right, the last couple of years. So could you do a cash out refinance, pull money out of that property, and then use that as your 10% down on a second home? Or is that frowned upon?
For 2020 and 2021, shockingly, we have seen properties increase at, you know, anywhere from 16 to 20% in Utah and even across the country. We're just seeing appreciation grow at like historic levels, which means that there's a lot of equity that families have in their homes. And so to answer your question, that is absolutely a possibility where you can pull money from your current residence as part of a cash out refinance to use as a down payment for a second home that you could use as a vacation rental. Now, the variable that we would need to double check and work with is the debt to income ratio, right?
Yes. And that, I think we've done a whole podcast about that, but is it different if it's a second home? Is the debt to income ratio looked at differently than a conventional purchase where you're trying to stay under that 49.99% debt versus your income? Is it like lower? You have to have less debt if you've got that second property?
Yeah, the rule of thumb, you know, in almost every instance is we need that debt to income ratio to be lower than 49%. And so when you're buying a second house, you would have to add all of the expenses from your first house, plus all of the liabilities that are showing up on your credit report, plus the mortgage payment of your second home. And all of that needs to be below 49%.
Well, that's actually good news, though, because if you're keeping your debts under control, then you'll be able to just add that in. It's not like they have a stricter requirement with it being a second home that you have to have less, you know, debt than you did in the first home purchase.
Yeah, and it's all part of the same equation. Now, we're always happy to help with those debt to income calculations. They can be a little gray, not gray, but a little complicated to put together. So if that's something that you'd like to take a look at and would like a second pair of eyes so that we can like give you the stamp of approval on your debt to income ratio, we'd be happy to help you to do that.
And I feel like there's a whole nother conversation we'll do on another episode about location, because obviously you cannot buy a second home property somewhere and expect to be able to rent it as a vacation rental if no one wants to vacation there. So kind of when you're choosing where, the where is very important. We have clients right now working on Sedona properties, properties up here in the Tetons, because you want to buy it somewhere that people want to go on vacation, which is good because then you can go there on vacation too. Is there a rule about how far it needs to be from your current home as well?
You're not allowed to buy a second home next door. So the rule of thumb, and every market's a little different, right? And if you can justify that you're 20 miles away from a reservoir, then you can make an exception and get an approval for something closer. But the rule of thumb is the property needs to be, you know, somewhere around 100 miles away from where your primary residence is in order to qualify for the second home status.
Okay, that's a good thing for people to know. So if we were to give a synopsis, buying a second home and then using it as a vacation rental is a good option because of the increased amount that you can charge on these nightly rentals, right? And you're only needing to pay 10% down on this second home. The rates are about 0.5% better than if you were buying a traditional investment property. Needs to be at a distance, you know, anywhere about 100 miles away from your home. Kind of will depend a little bit. But anything else I'm missing as people are starting to kind of get in that frame of mind of Airbnb, woohoo?
Yeah, it's a very elegant investment opportunity. And your synopsis was on the money. And it's super fun, right? Because then you're going to be making money and give your family a nice place to go and have their own adventures.
It's kind of like back in the day when we were newly married and we bought a timeshare. Unfortunately, the timeshare doesn't make us any money, but it does allow us to go on vacation. So had we known then what we know now, we probably would have bought an Airbnb 23 years ago instead of buying a timeshare.
Yeah. So so when you're planting an oak tree, the best time to plant an oak tree would have been 40 years ago. the next best time to plant an oak tree is today.
So welcome to Plant an Oak Tree. I love it. So bring us your projects. We're excited to help people with this. I think it's a fun new space to move into. So have an awesome week. And as always, know before you owe.
Know before you owe, baby. Thanks for listening. You can always find us at nextmovemortgage.com. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a review wherever you're listening and follow us for more tips and strategies to make your next home loan easy.